Hi, all. These are generally conversations between adults after the children have left the table. The language can be spicy and the subjects can get saucy. So if you're ready, you are listening to The Southern Fork, a podcast that hosts kitchen chats with some of the most interesting people in the culinary South. I'm your host, Stephanie Burt, and I'm always hungry to learn more. Let's dig in. It's round two of the Southern Fork Holiday Bites, and today I wanted to blatantly try to get you to add some heirloom ingredients to your holiday celebrations. I have an agenda. The holidays are about special times together, special recipes, so why not start with a special ingredient or two? Many heirloom ingredients have superior flavor or nutrition, but fell off the American menu with the rise of modern food systems. And organizations like Slow Food USA and Slow Food International are working to bring awareness to the goodness you might not know about. I sat down a few days ago with Chef Jacques Larson of Wild Olive and the Obstinate Daughter, and his wife Carrie of Slow Food Charleston, to chat about something called Arc of Taste Week here in Charleston, as well as to get some heirloom ideas for the holidays. The Southern Fork Holiday Bites is supported by Charleston Wine and Food. If you listen to this podcast, then you know I build my calendar each year around this food festival. For 2018, you can do the same thing. First, mark your calendars. It's February 28th through March 4th. Second, I have a way that you can score some tickets that are already sold out. How? Through the ticket packages. There are three levels, starter, supper, and feast. And you know which one I'd suggest, right? And they give you an easy way to experience different aspects of the festival, which is way more than the Culinary Village in Marion Square. We're talking 110 separate events, way more. And finally, how easy would a ticket package be for the foodie on your holiday list? Seriously, it's one of the best food festivals in the nation, which works out for me since it's in my city. So visit charlestonwineandfood.com to get those ticket packages before they sell out. Now, it's time to chat Carolina Gold Rice and beyond. Heirloom ingredients aren't just for chefs. Welcome to a coffee edition of the Southern Fork, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I will come visit you and your dogs and have coffee with you anytime.
You are welcome anytime.
So let's introduce the fact that we have two Cocker Spaniels in the room with us as we're going to chat Arc of Taste ingredients today. So, Carrie, would you like to tell us who's here?
Sure. We've got Lily and Maggie, big supporters of the Arc.
Jacques has been on the Southern Fork before. He actually was one of the first people who took one for the team since I didn't really know what I was doing. Nothing's really changed. I've just been doing that a lot more. So we're going to be talking about how to add some heirloom ingredients to your holiday table. And that can be the big meal for Christmas. It can be cocktail parties. It can be New Year's Eve dinners. There's a lot that we can talk about. And I'm talking to you two because you kind of beat the drum about this a lot in the Charleston area. Carrie, you've really found a niche here with Slow Food Charleston.
I have. It's been a fun journey. I was brought into Slow Food by Becky Burke, who has been chairing the chapter for a handful of years, and had heard about it before while working in the restaurant industry. But I am staying home for the most part with my son, and this has been a great opportunity to stay engaged and try and further my experience and involvement within the food community.
Well, and you're the first person I really knew who, like, staged at farms. Like, I didn't know that was kind of a thing, like that you just went out and volunteered and helped. And so you have introduced me to a lot of farmers over the years before you even got into Slow Food. And I've become involved in this chapter as well and talked about it. I was involved in the Arc of Taste thing later, but I remember when I first heard of the words Arc of Taste, I thought, dun, 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 what is that, right?
Yeah, the Arc of Taste is Slow Food International's platform for supporting ingredients with historical and cultural significance that are facing extinction. So we kind of back ingredients that we believe in, and we understand their place at the table. And different chapters and different groups involved with Slow Food support the ARC in different ways. But one of the biggest ways in which Slow Food boards these ingredients onto the ARC is by providing both financial and academic resources. So we work with farmers to identify ingredients that have a story. And then we make sure that consumers understand that story and that those ingredients continue to have a place on the table in the future.
And that they also can be available for consumers to purchase.
Absolutely.
Or at least for chefs to use. So is it kind of like the endangered species list for heirloom veggies?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's, and then we have this idea of Noah's Ark with these corn seeds going up
two by two.
Exactly. Well, one of the ways that this Ark of Taste works really is to educate chefs first, because chefs lead a lot of us in our culture today. There's even a hashtag, chefs lead, teaching us about food. I mean, we didn't know about Chipotle 10 years ago. Now everybody has that and sriracha in their fridges. I mean, the chefs are really a lot of the early adopters to this. So, Jacques, how have you seen your food change as you've learned more about local ingredients and heirloom stuff? Because you don't have to cook that way.
Right. No, and that's a good point. I mean, for me, it's a little backwards, because I think early on in my career, I realized like a lot of these ingredients, say, you know, such from Anson Mills. I mean, Anson Mills locally has probably been the best example of someone that we've supported. And knowing the work that they do, first and foremost, using their product, you just realize that it does taste better.
Right.
And that it's special. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, for me, it was really easy for our restaurants to get behind, you know, say this promotion next week for Arc of Taste, where, you know, we try to highlight ingredients on the menu. And, you know, for us, I mean, at both places, we have examples of Arc of Taste ingredients without, you know, deliberately putting them on. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, this is going to be something that we support. We've been supporting it for a while. But, mm-hmm. you know, same token, though, for me, I think in my early career, I always tried to state that, you know, I'm not responsible for, you know, telling our guests how to eat. And I've really kind of changed my tune that way. And it's not so much that, you know, I'm going to make you eat foie gras and, you know, duck hearts, but mm-hmm. more so, you know, hey, these are special ingredients that, you know, a lot of times your average consumer can't get, you know, so easily. I mean, Anson Mills, you can't go online and order, you know, via mail through them. But a lot of these ingredients, you know, the reason they're so special is because they were at one point so predominant in, mm-hmm. in the culture or in the community. And, you know, being on the verge, you know, as you guys mentioned, on extinction, people, farmers, you know, like Greg from Geechee Boy, mm-hmm. it really is a matter of, you know, hey, these are special things. We really, you know, want them to be, you know, widely used again within.
And frankly, taste is one of the best ways to experience this.
Yeah.
So, because I think my question in one of my, I did a session last year at Euphoria on heirloom ingredients. Hey, Brianna, how's it going? And it was because I put things like Carolina gold rice side by side with white rice. And we did an heirloom pea thing. And Chris Wilkins of Root Baking, hey, Chris, did a bread for us so that people could actually taste the difference of this. And these things have gone away for a lot of reasons, mostly because of storage and spoilage reasons, right? So
yeah, and a lot of times it was more a case of the industrialization and commercialization of the agro economy.
From backyard gardens to these big, big.
Exactly. I mean, the issue of scale was one of the biggest reasons. When you try to produce a certain amount of anything, you have to go about it in a different way. So I think that's what has gotten our food systems into the trouble of dealing with GMOs and dealing with flavorless ingredients. People are focused on scale and income and government subsidies, and being able to turn that on its head and bring the focus back to flavor and quality is one of, I think, our greatest hopes of getting out of the troubles we're in these days.
Exactly. And the Arc of Taste Week that we're about to go into in Charleston is a lot of this. So tell us like some of the things that are going to be happening.
Absolutely. It is a fun, full week. Certainly the biggest effort that our local chapter has put on. It's starting this Saturday on the 2nd. We're going to have a family-friendly work and learn at the MUSC Urban Farm, where families can come and actually see different Arc of Taste crops being grown. Some really unique lettuces, root vegetables, heirloom greens, all sorts of fun stuff. That evening, Virgil Kane, a wonderful bourbon producer in town, is partnering up with Spade and Clover. John Warren's producing some beautiful ginger, and they're going to have a ginger harvest
turmeric
festival.
And his stuff is fascinating to me.
It is. We actually offered him a grant this last spring, and we're excited to hear about some of the work he's been doing and trying to find some new crops that excel in our interesting and unique climate here in the Lowcountry.
But during the week, we're going to have things like a cocktail crawl, so I'm going to make sure that I'm there for that. I'm probably going to miss the work and learn thing. I probably will, but just because I'm going to be out of town. Shocker! But there are also options to taste.
There are
Arc of Taste ingredients throughout the week at a variety of restaurants.
So we're working with Greg Johnsman to build or plant this heirloom peach orchard. It's going to be certainly an investment of time, energy, and resources. We're going to graft the trees in Virginia and bring them down about a year from now, year and a half from now. So different restaurants around town, the Neighborhood Dining Group, which includes Husk and Monero, along with McCrady's, and some wonderful standbys of Slow Foods, McIntosh and Indaco. Jacques is jumping on board with the Wild Olive and the OD, and some of the smaller restaurants that are also doing the hard work, the Glass Onion, and so many others.
Hey, Chris.
The new to town Basic Kitchens. All of these restaurants are going to identify menu items that have an Arc of Taste ingredient and encourage a dialogue about what the Arc of Taste is and why they support it. This will all culminate next weekend, the 9th. We're going to have a panel discussion with producers and Dr. David Shields about the Arc of Taste
place. Hey, Dr. Shields. Sorry, it's a slow food shout-out day on the Southern Fork.
We're going to talk with Ann Marshall of Highwire.
Ann.
Nat Bradford of Bradford Family Farm, along with Greg Johnsman. They're going to kind of talk about the Arc of Taste place and both the challenges and rewards of working with these ingredients. And then we're going to have on Sunday our annual Arc of Taste celebration. Usually in the past, the celebration's focused on ingredients that are celebrated here in the South.
Last year was Seashore Rye.
It sure was.
Right.
This year we have nominated the Lemon Cling Peach, but we're actually going to reflect back on the Italian heritage of Slow Food because this dinner is taking place on Slow Food's anniversary.
Ah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's just say it is truffle season and there will be a grand celebration.
Oh, so there's just, it's raining truffles.
Raining truffles.
I like to hear that. But this is a Holiday Bites edition of the Southern Fork, so I'm really focused on how we can bring this into our homes. So, Jacques, from your professional opinion, what would be one of the easiest ingredients this time of year to really look for or find, experiment with, to bring to your holiday gathering?
Well, I would say quite easily, and something we did last New Year's Day, being a tradition in the South or in the Low Country to have red rice and beans, or not rice and beans and collards. We pulled out the cowboy cauldron and put it out on the patio, and you know, for a lot of people, they have rice and beans and collards separate, but I was able to find an older recipe where it was a one-pot method. And, you know, I mean, two of the three of those ingredients, and one being, you know, the third being a local staple, is like there's a magic in that simplicity that you can cook. And in one pot method, where you literally, you know, stagger your ingredients, your rice and beans, you know, cooking together, of course, doesn't hurt.
And that would be Carolina Gold rice. And your beans
and
aren't really...
Sea Island red peas.
Island red peas. So it's different than black-eyed peas that we're thinking of. A lot of people outside of this region think of as Hop and John. This would traditionally be called Hop and John.
Yes.
And greens and peas on New Year's Day means that you're going to be rich.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good year.
Yeah,
that what being for luck and collards, the green signifying money.
Right.
So it is a staple. But, you know, I mean, for me, I was so excited. I'd never done, you know, a one pot method with all those ingredients. And it really just speaks to the depth of flavor of those and the purity. And, I mean, I always get jazzed when food is that simple and that magnificent. And it literally... it's special. It really is.
And I mean, I am the person that is always like trying to buy the reduce for quick sale food waste ingredients and things like that. And I'm very frugal at the farmer's market, and that stuff comes from freelance writing. Thanks, y'all. But when I had Carolina Gold rice, just rice and butter and salt, it's so much better. And I liked regular white Mahatma rice, okay, with rice, butter, and salt. So this is just a completely different ingredient. And so that Hop and John or that one pot method has so much more flavor without even doing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. What excites me is like these ingredients really personify the region. And, you know, when you go to something like Terra Madre, where delegates from all over the world are bringing staples from their community, from, you know, their land in which it was was grown. It's a way of sharing, you know, a bit of one's culture, region.
And so if we don't want to cook, but we want to make cocktails, I've heard Anna and Scott, hey, Anna and Scott have something really fancy.
They have just released their new bottling of the Jimmy Red Corn whiskey. They've been growing this corn with a lot of care down at, I believe, Lavington and a few other locations, identifying prime conditions for this crop. And
it's a straight bourbon.
Oh, 100%
Jimmy Red Corn. Right?
And yeah, they've done a special release with Le Creuset bottles, which I believe are sold out at this point, but maybe heading over to the High Wire website, you'll find something you are interested in. But it's interesting. There's a few different things on the Arc of Taste list that can be enjoyed. There's Napa Valley Gamay grape. If you're looking for a unique wine, that's one that's on the list. The Charbono grape is on the list. There's also apple brandy, American rye whiskey. There's some unique things. You can find the full list at slowfoodusa.org, and you can sort by ingredient or region, which is a really nice resource.
Right.
And then once you get an ingredient in your head, easy Google search is usually a pretty fun solution.
It really is. And this time of year, we're saying goodbye to the farmers markets in this region. But in other regions, that farmers market has already ended. But say like in a place like Vermont, you have this culture of year-round local markets, or in the Pacific Northwest. So there's a lot of variety there if you can just slow down a little bit, right?
Yeah. You kind of wrap your head around things and realize that when you purchase an ingredient that has and tells a story, the meal is that much more special. You know, whether it's something as simple as rice or peas or a whiskey that you're enjoying with friends, there's a lot of protein options. There's seafood, there's pork, there are some beautiful oyster varieties that are all very well known on the list. It's just a
oysters
platform.
Oysters say holidays to me.
That is for sure.
So I know out at the OD, Jacques, you you have to buy a lot of oysters.
We do.
Have you seen guests change and ask what is local?
Certainly. I mean, we always try to feature one local one. And, you know, it's funny, literally 2 days ago I got a visit from Josh at Barrier Island Oysters. And it's such an exciting time to be in Charleston, where, you know, people's curiosity and kind of like just craving for, you know, hyper local items. You know, he's doing these. I think they're beginning them in Ace Basin, but, you know, finishing up in Guatemala. And it was a product that I was just blown away by. You know, I mean, someone like Dave, Clamor Dave, who's, you know, been doing this a bit, you know, I give him major props for, you know, kind of starting, you know, especially in terms of seafood, you know, highlighting
so clean. Yes, it's just so pristine.
Yeah.
And you don't realize the difference. I mean, there's just a subtlety to it. But creatively, for people that like to cook, this is the Super Bowl season. And creatively, slow food ingredients can really just fuel that. Mm-hmm. They can make it more fun to cook, right?
They sure can. Sure. Actually, Dr. David Shields has a book out right now. Well, quite a few of them. But The Culinarians certainly features some recipes that tell stories and include a lot of these really special ingredients.
Well, good. Well, I'm going to be signing up for oysters, more coffee with you, wine from Napa. I love the Gamay grape now.
It's party time.
It sounds like party time. And I wish you both happy holidays and slow food eating.
Thank you.
Always fun having you over.
You've been listening to The Southern Fork. I can't wait to bring you more culinary conversations, but in the meantime, I have one question. Are you gonna eat all that?